Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I don't know what is going on with the intro song, but this is Jessica Baptiste. I am thrilled to see 2015. We have a great show today. We're going to be talking about the documentary Streetwise. It came out in 1985. It's directed by Martin Bell and is based off of a Life magazine article that came out in 1983. I actually have been a fan of the movie for a very long time, probably since I was 13 years old. And I am so pleased that we now have a Facebook page for the film dedicated to the film and the subjects in the film. And I am lucky to have on one of the moderators. She's actually the creator of the page. Her name is Beth. And let's see if Beth is on. You there, Beth?
Hi. I'm here.
Hey. Yeah,
hey.
You're on air. How's it going?
It's going great. I was sick the last couple days,
good.
But I'm feeling better now.
Great. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit of the Facebook page for Streetwise and why you started it.
Okay. If the address, if anybody wants to check it out, it's facebook.com/groups/streetwise1984, or you can just go to Facebook and type in Streetwise documentary, and it'll pop up. The reason I created it is because I saw the documentary when it originally aired in 1984, and me and Tiny had a lot in common. I had an alcoholic parent, too. I did grow up in a good situation.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw the movie, it had the opposite effect on me. Instead of being sort of like, oh, my God, this is happening, I grew up in South Philly, so I had already seen a lot of that kind of stuff. It gave me the strength to say, I can leave this situation and be on my own. And so I did. About a month later, I ran away from home, and I never went back.
Oh, wow.
So it gave me the strength to leave a bad situation.
Yeah,
and
in the movie. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit.
Oh, that's it. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The reason I created the group is because I would say roughly 2 years ago, I was on YouTube rewatching the film, and I saw in the comment section somebody said one of the kids from the documentary, his name's Justin Reed Early, wrote a book. And so I got his book off of Amazon, read it, and I was really, really touched by it. And I looked him up on Facebook, and we were talking back and forth, and I said, you know, it's just such a shame that there's nothing online to sort of memorialize Lulu or Patty or the ones that didn't make it, Dwayne, you know. And I said, I get really mad every time I saw something about the Green River Killer, and they would just show Roberta, she was one of the victims, she was in Streetwise, they would just show her picture, her mugshot. And I was like, didn't anybody care about this girl enough to, like, give a, you know, a nice picture, a school picture? And so I got together with two other friends about 6 months later, and we just decided to start a Streetwise Facebook group, and it really took off. Really took off.
Yeah, I can see. You guys are at 1,000 members now, which is great.
Yeah.
And the documentary also, too, like I said, it came out in 1985, and I believe that Mary Ellen and Martin are actually doing a follow-up film with some of the subjects of the original documentary. They're filming it, and I can't wait to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally saw Streetwise about 20 years ago when I was probably about 13 years old. It came on Cinemax, of all things. This is when Cinemax actually showed, I don't want to say independent movies, but they would show different kinds of movies. They weren't so much like HBO and Showtime. But it came on Cinemax some 94, and I watched it, and I was like, whoa, you know, this is an awesome, awesome documentary. And then a little bit later, I actually saw another movie, Kids, came out the previous year, and I think they re-aired Streetwise again at the same time they aired Kids, because everybody thought Kids was a documentary, but it was actually scripted, which is another really great film. I really enjoyed Kids, but Streetwise was very raw and very gritty. And I remembered after I graduated college, I looked it up and on the internet, and I saw that it had somewhat of a following. I remembered the movie. As luck would have it, this is before Netflix and Redbox became really popular. People used to go to like Blockbuster and other video stores and get videos. And so I saw Streetwise, and I rented it, and I watched it all over again as an adult, and I even had a more understanding of it. And I thought it's still a great documentary, and I love the fact how Mary Ellen and her husband have kept the film going up as far as hooking up with Tiny and documenting certain points of her life. She was one of the subjects in the original film. And I thought it was just really, really awesome. So to have a Facebook page for this documentary, I think is wonderful. I think it's great. And tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you guys, I know you found some of the original subjects, or they found you. You know, can you kind of give the audience a little bit of a synopsis on how that happened?
What I decided to do when I made the Facebook page, at first it was just me and a girl named Corey Mars and a guy named Day Day and maybe two other people. We were like the original people. And I never thought we would get to over 1,000 members. I didn't think we would get to 100 members. I just figured it'd be like me, and I knew Tiny already. I met her on the site imdb.com probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
And so I added Tiny. I was like, are you okay with us doing this? Because, of course, her life was shown so raw in that documentary. And she was totally supportive. In fact, she still is. In fact, I messaged her and asked her about the show today, and she, like, said, sure, say whatever you'd like about me. She said, you know, I've always been supported and I've always trusted you. I thought that was amazing. And so
it is.
Once we got – we started making the page. Of course, it takes hours upon hours of work at first, because what I did was I made a thread for each character in the documentary, the main ones, Rat, Tiny, Lulu, Patty Munchkin, and I did the ones that have passed. I did a little memorial to them, and so each kid has their own thread, where, you know, if they were gone, you can leave a nice message or a memory, or say how they touched you, or in a Tiny's case, if they're on Facebook or, you know, still around, you can message them and maybe ask them a question, as long as, you know, it's not too intrusive, and Tiny started interacting with the fans, and it just grew. It just blew up. Yeah. And so, actually, we really didn't have to find a lot of the kids. A lot of the kids found us. I think the only person that we had to find was Rat, and he hasn't reached out to us yet. I think I saw something where his wife commented he's a little bit embarrassed. And let me tell you, if they had videos, if they had me at 13 on video, I would have been embarrassed too. So...
Me too.
He hasn't joined, but...
You're a whole new person.
Who wasn't acting the fool at 13, please, you know? So...
Exactly.
And especially in that situation. Yeah. I mean, I was a homeless kid, too. I left when I was 14, and I know, you know, I did a lot of things when I was homeless that wasn't exactly legal and wasn't exactly, you know, something I would want to be on film.
Yeah.
So I always am amazed that they embrace this so much. Most of them do.
And it's good. Like I said, it has a following to it. And even when I was doing a little bit of research, me being a fan of the movie, Robert Ebert gave a wonderful review. And I recommend anyone that wants to know more about the film or wants to know how the critics saw the film when it came out. It was nominated for an Oscar. Is that correct, Beth? It was nominated for an Oscar.
Yes. And I know it's won. Won some awards. I don't know exactly what awards it's won, but I believe it was nominated. Yeah, because it was so.
And that,
I think it shocked
really
America. And I remember it as being. It actually came on. This is before HBO. Maybe it was like HBO was in its early years. And we used to have these movies of the week where everybody would watch, because you only had like four channels back then, unless you were lucky enough to have cable.
Okay.
And Streetwise actually showed on CBS, I believe it was, as a movie of the week. I believe it
really?
Was. And that was unusual because usually they were like these, you know, kids gone bad, dramatic, kids drinking at 12 type of thing. But this was something that was real. This wasn't Linda Blair acting or, you know, another, you know, celebrity kind
yeah.
of a warning film or whatever you want to call them. This was real. And I think most people were shocked, number one, because they were kids and they were so
mm-hmm.
obviously being exploited by adults. And I think
when
you get down to it, it's shocking because it was white children in a city like Seattle. This wasn't
exactly.
Bronx. It wasn't Philly. Like I say, you know, where we were used to seeing that in Philly, but in Seattle, we were not used to seeing,
yeah.
you know, homeless kids in Seattle on the street corners, you know, being picked up by adults. And so I think it shocked
yeah.
everybody, and they were, and, yeah.
It hit middle America, and, you know, I'd say I wrote a column back in January, and I grew up in middle-class suburbia in the South, and I had friends that ran away, but running away, you know, I was a teenager in the 90s. Running away meant that you just stayed out longer than your curfew, or you may go and stay with your friend for a couple of days and you went back home. So there wasn't
right.
a lot of kids that were running to the big city on the streets doing illegal activity.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I did have friends that were abused, I have friends that got molested by a parent or by an adult figure
mm-hmm.
that was close in their life. So I knew about
right.
it, and they dealt with it in their own way. And the thing that I think is so interesting, too, is, you know, this is in the 1980s. This was during, you know, the conservative 80s. You had a lot of people
right.
that were trying to get back to family values. At the same time, the kaleidoscope and kind of a history lesson for some of my young listeners, you know, back in the 80s, you had two major epidemics. You had the crack cocaine epidemic, and you had the AIDS epidemic. So you had all
exactly.
this going on at the same time where you had a conservative president in the White House that
right.
cut domestic spending. And
right.
that really it helped a lot of people, especially people that were poor and had limited means. They weren't getting the support they needed in their own job, and some of them had to go and say, hey, I have to get on welfare or get food stamps. Well, if you're cutting those programs, what do those people do to supplement that income they're losing? Some of them go to the streets.
Right.
Some of the kids, they get pushed to the side. Mom and dad are frustrated. They become abusive. They become alcoholics, and that really set the stage for Streetwise. And I'm sure, Beth, you know, you were a teenager back then, and you probably saw a lot of that too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember, and now I wasn't quite aware of it at the time because I was, like I said, I was a teenager. I'm the exact same age as Tiny. You know, during the Reagan, now when I look back at it, that's Reagan's legacy, was
mm-hmm.
homelessness,
yeah.
his complete, you know, ignorance of HIV, and his... What he managed to do, and a lot of people don't know this, and a lot of people still fall for this thing, he managed to cut all the spending, cut all these programs, but he did it in a way where he would get public support. So what he did was he came up with
yeah.
this idea of a wealth, it was called a, quote, welfare queen. And what he did was he criminalized basically poor African-American women, because basically that's who they were targeting. And he came up with this story
yeah.
that this woman was living in Chicago. She had was getting $150,000 a year from welfare, driving a Cadillac.
Wow.
Why is it always a Cadillac with those stories? I don't know. But completely false story.
Because
the media, wanted to
yeah.
find this woman and interview her, found out she was just an apparition made up. And that's how
yeah.
he was able to criminalize poor people by saying, listen, these people aren't poor. They're living high off the hog. Listen, as somebody who was once on welfare and food stamps for a couple months, nobody's living high off food stamps and welfare.
No.
You barely get enough to get by, if that.
Oh,
so
food stamps
managed
are very
to do
limited,
that, and when,
what you can buy anyway.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's not enough for anybody to live off of. Not even if you have 10 kids, it's not enough to live off of. And, you know, when he did that, he was able to go ahead with public, you know, public support for programs like AFDC and food stamps and Medicaid sort of turned. It's like, well, we don't want these people living off of us and blah, 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 blah. So he was able to do all that. He was able to cut everything with public support. Well, they didn't realize they had been completely duped. And he would later go on to do that with HIV and with crack also. He would manage to blow things up maybe worse than they were, so he would, you know, he was able to target minorities, young black men, young black African-American women, and he was able to do that with public support by basically lying about it.
And,
so unfortunately,
and
that's
that
his legacy.
It is. And the thing I stress with people all the time is, you know, look up the facts for yourself and read for yourself of what things are. I mean, Streetwise, I think, should be shown as a study piece in anthropology classes, but also in high school classes, because it could be a deterrent for some kids to, you know, this is a reality of what's happening. If it could happen in Seattle, where, you know, the first thing when people think of Seattle, I know I do, the first thing that pops in my head, one of the first things is Kurt Cobain and Nirvana or Starbucks or something like that. You never equate homelessness and teenage runaways with Seattle. It's a beautiful city, but you don't equate that. So for kids to see, you know, it's, even though it was 30 years ago, it's the same thing, it's the same game, it's the same dynamic. And nowadays, I think with runaway kids, it's much more worse because there's not that semblance, I think, from what I have seen of unity. And it seems like, you know, on the street, sometimes the kids unite and band together, it's us against the world. So they have that kind of mentality. But Streetwise, really, for me, just my opinion, like I said, if you ever want to do a study piece of the mid-'80s, that's a great documentary to watch. Because I think Reagan is even mentioned a couple times. Some of the kids mention him in the documentary.
Yeah, when he was in the clinic. Yeah. When Dwayne is sitting in the clinic, he mentions Reagan.
Interesting. And I was a little kid during the Reagan administration. I was actually born the first year that Reagan became president. And so I really don't remember. I remembered certain things about the Reagan administration, but not a lot. I kind of remember Daddy Bush, the first Bush, because of the Gulf War, the Berlin Wall. I actually was allowed to stay up late one night to watch the Berlin Wall fall. And little did I know, 25 years later, I was watching history and I didn't understand it. I even had in elementary school some school books that were so old that they even had East Germany and West Germany.
Wow.
And I thought that was
that's pretty old.
This was like 1993. Yeah, and this is a book from like 1983, and they're still doing this history. They need to update it because so much happened in that 10-year period of time. And Streetwise is something that I think if I was ever to do a time capsule or whatever, if I was in 85, I would put Streetwise in it and listen to some of the jargon and how the hierarchy on the street was. It was, you know, these are kids, and they're talking about, you know, doing different things. And I, like I said, I loved the documentary. And I know that you're in touch with Tiny and some of the other kids. Can you, like, elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure, yeah. Tiny, she's grown and married. I don't know a lot of specifics about her life. We talk every once in a while. I will say I think she's an inspiration. I really do. She opened up her life in a way that not a lot of people would, and she has no qualms or no shame about talking about any of that stuff that happened, and it had to have been painful to have your life, because whoever thought, you know, at the time they were filming Streetwise, nobody could ever foresee the internet and this whole thing having a life online. You know, we didn't even have we didn't even have simple computers back in that time, you know. So here it is. It's all being dug up again, and it's all being hashed over again. And she's handled it beautifully. She's very open to, like, you know, the people that ask her questions. She has beautiful children. She kept all her kids. She raised all her kids, which is something that a lot of girls, you know, weren't able to quite get it together. A lot of kids ended up lost to foster care or stuff like that. And Tiny kept her family together through all that, and I just think it's amazing. And she had extra, you know, struggles because I know her kids are mixed race, and my kids are mixed race too. And I dated, you know, I've been married for 20 years to an African American man. I had adopted three kids, and I've had one of my kids is Hispanic and black, one was African American, one was white and black. So I've dealt with some of the racial prejudice I know she's had to deal with, because we often get stereotyped and labeled and things like that. So she's had that extra on her. But she's, I mean, it's amazing because, like, her kids come into the group, and the first thing they say is, oh, my God, Tiny's my mother. I love her so much. And I always get a little teary because it's like her kids are so proud of her, and they love her. You really feel it in their posts and in their what they say. So I think it's amazing.
It's great. I know. It is. I've put a post up, and that one of her sons said, that's my mom. And I said, she's an incredible lady. And he said, yeah, I know, I love her. And I thought that that was sweet. And Tiny has overcome so much. It's a blessing that she has shown people. We have incredible odds stacked against you that you can just really overcome. And you can, you know, just survive. Be happy. And I actually am friends with her on Facebook, and she seems like really sweet. She sent me a game request the other day, so I have to check that out.
Yeah, she always does that.
I think
to
that's it's an awesome thing. Even Justin's going to be shown in a couple of minutes. He wrote a book, and I read the book, and I'm a writer and I'm a reader, but I'm more so of a writer than a reader. And I actually took the time out because I saw an interview he did. It was on YouTube. It was about a year or so ago. And I got his book, and I thought it was awesome. And I vaguely remembered the flash of him at the beginning of the film, and I didn't know it was him because he had these shades on. He gets on a show, I'm going to talk to him about that. But he had these sunglasses on, and he
was with Roberta, thank God he did that book. Thank God, because that's one of the things that I contacted when I originally contacted him. I was like, you know, he really humanized her. He gave her a voice and a backstory. And he did the same with Lulu. He did the same. He mentions Tiny a couple times in the book. So we're able to get more out of Justin's book of what was really going on and a lot of the pain, you know, because a lot of that doesn't translate well to film. You can't get feelings and that type of inner feelings on film, but you do from his book. And he's amazingly gracious. I mean, I sent him the book. He signed it for me. I was all excited about that. And really, if I have to credit somebody for kind of giving me the idea, it would probably be Justin, because from that conversation I had with him is when I came up with an idea. And first I thought, well, I'll do a website. And then I was like, oh, they're expensive and there's so much. And I was like, well, Tiny's already on Facebook. Let's build something from Facebook. And we managed to find some of the kids that were only in there for, like, you know, like Patrice, who did a very small part. Some of the kids that were maybe only on the screen for 5 minutes, we managed to find. Do you want more updates on the other people from the documentary?
Yeah, I mean, sure. It's just, like I said, everybody, just give the audience the address again in case they want to check it out and become a member and to post. Yeah, tell them that link again.
Okay. It's on www.facebook.com/groups/streetwise1984. You can also just go to Facebook and type in Streetwise 1984 or Streetwise documentary or Mary Ellen Mark, and it'll probably come up.
Okay.
And like I said, we have a thread for every kid, including Justin, where you know he talks a little bit about his book. We've managed to dig up some pretty amazing things. It was, I would say, about 12 years ago, I remembered that Tiny had been on with Ted Koppel. And so I went looking online for the video. And I could not find it anywhere. And my friend managed to find it. I had to pay, I think, and I'm glad I did now, but I think I paid $250 for that copy of Tiny on Nightline. And I also got Lulu's funeral with it, which was like a 3-minute clip. I think I paid like $150 for or something. And I don't know how to upload videos or anything, but one of the guys, and shout out to Mac, I think it's Mac Mintock, he managed to upload everything. He uploaded Tiny's Nightline, Lulu's funeral for us.
Yeah.
And I'm so appreciative of Mac for doing that. And so thank God I had those things. I still had those DVDs saved. And he even has the movie uploaded on, let me get his name for you. He's on YouTube. It's Mac Mintaka, M-I-N-T-A-K-A. And he has all of our DVDs up. And then we had another girl, her name's Cam Cam. Cam Cam managed to find Tiny and Kim, who was another girl that was in the documentary, on the David Susskind show, which was an 80s show. And she uploaded.
Yeah, what's
we
that
have
mean?
A lot of, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Wasn't that a New York show, if my memory serves me correctly, that Tiny and Kim were on?
Yeah, it was like an early, sort of like an early version of like, it was sort of like in the 80s, we had a lot of these talk shows, like Oprah just started, and can't think of the other guy. But they had these, you know, they would just have guests on. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Tiny and Kim were on the show. It was a couple of hours, a couple of years after Streetwise was shot. And she managed to find this video. And even Tiny was like, where'd that come from? I was like, somebody had it on VHS. So, yeah, I know. She was like, whoa, I don't even hardly remember doing that. And a lot of the people dug up really old newspaper articles. We managed to get the entire story of Lulu, who was one of the main characters filmed. She was unfortunately murdered after Streetwise came out.
Yeah.
And somebody managed to find the whole story on that. And just a ton of stuff. We found a ton of personal photos and all kinds of things. And there's just a tons of stuff there to look for. We found Rat, who's one. Another reason I started this is because the only place to get information on the Streetwise kids was through the Internet Movie Database. It's imdb.com. There were so many false rumors. There was rumors that Patty was still alive, that Rat was dead, and that the guy that was with him in the documentary, Jack, killed him and all that stuff. There was just all these false rumors. And so that's one of the reasons I also made it, was to get the stories right. Like, no, Rat's not dead. He's alive. You know, unfortunately, Roberta was a victim of Green River Killer. Patty died. I'm not sure how she passed away. Lulu was murdered. And Dwayne supposedly killed himself, but I did hear from somebody that it was a prank gone wrong. Somebody that was in the documentary, somebody that was close to him, said that.
I never heard that. Wow.
Yeah. I don't want to say who said it. It was somebody that wouldn't BS about it, but yeah, they said that it was a prank gone wrong. I don't know how true that was, but we managed to did a nice little memorial for everybody, and a lot of people have commented. We've had a lot of people come in lately. One lady was like a sister to Dwayne. And so they're able to leave their condolences and say, even some of Roberta's children that she had kids before she was murdered have come into the group.
Oh, wow.
And said, this was my mother, and all her kids, they said, look a little bit like her. Yeah.
That's sweet. That's very sweet.
Now, there's a couple we haven't been able to find.
Okay.
James?
I'm sure there's
can't find him.
Okay.
What'd
you say? That's the real quiet one. That's the real quiet one that
he donated.
Yeah, he was the
one that was filmed giving blood. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really quiet. I what happened to him. Yeah, he didn't say too much in the movie.
One of the reasons we like to find people, is to just find out if they're still alive and okay. Like, we don't want to, you know, one of the things I said is please don't, like, dig into people's lives or contact their kids or anything like that. We just want to know that they're okay. We're unable to find, she's a girl that, Erica, she looked just like Roberta. We haven't heard from her either.
Okay.
And a couple other, we've, did hear from Shelly. She's a friend of, there's a girl in the group named Sabrina. Shelly's a friend of Sabrina. She's aware of the group, but she hasn't joined yet. She might just be busy. She might not be on Facebook. So.
And sometimes she may join. In time, the ones that we that you know you haven't found, they may join in time too. Like you're at 1,000 members. You hit 1,000 members. Didn't you hit 1,000 members last week?
Yeah, like 3 days ago, I think. Yeah,
that's
amazing.
I never, in a million years,
did I think we would reach that. Never. I didn't even think there were 1,000 people out there that knew what Streetwise was. But it's getting this whole life thanks to the internet.
Yeah. And I think that it's a wonderful thing that they have that. And with that, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to take a 5-minute break and play a song.
Okay.
So we can regroup. And next, Justin should be calling in. Justin Early wrote the book about his experience with Streetwise and on the streets of Seattle. And it's a wonderful book. I believe it's on Amazon. So he should be calling in a minute. But right now we're going to go to break. So everyone stay tuned and just sit back and listen to some music.
All right.
Crush a bit, little bit, roll it up, take a hit.
Shine ain't always gonna be gold. I'll be fine.
Okay, we're back. That was Kid Cudi, The Pursuit of Happiness, which I thought would be actually a really good song for this topic. Don't you think, Beth?
I think it was great. I liked it.
I liked it,
yeah,
too.
It was
hard. I was thinking, I'm like, I was thinking about, and as, you know, the season rolls around with the show, I am a very big Joy Division fan. If there's anyone else out there besides my 15-year-old cousin, Emma, we love Joy Division. And there was one song that they did on their last back in, it was the last when Ian was on. And if you don't know who Joy Division is, I advise anyone to look them up. Really, really influential, legendary band. The lead singer committed suicide, Ian Curtis. I actually follow his daughter on Twitter, and she and I were going back and forth about, I posted a drink of a gimlet. I went out a couple of weeks ago with my girlfriend and from work, and we're going back and forth about it, but she really doesn't like talking about her dad too much. But there's one song in the CD called Decades. Beautiful song, great CD. I was going to use that song, but I'm like, no, I think I'll do Pursuit of Happiness, and I'm kind of glad that I did it. A lot of people are messaging me that they liked it, so all here for the audience, and we bring these shows every Sunday at 6 p.m. I will be here, and right now I see that Justin is on the line, and so I'm going to go to Justin. I'll get back to you, Beth, but I want to introduce Justin. Justin Reed Early. He wrote a book, and it is called Street Child, A Memoir, and I read it. It's awesome, and let me go ahead and put Justin on.
Amazing.
You there, Justin?
Hi, how are you? I'm here. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good.
Doing
How's everything
pretty well.
Going?
Pretty good.
Doing pretty well. Yeah, we're great. I just thank you so much. I know you have a busy schedule, and you took time for a couple minutes to discuss the book and a little bit of the movie. And I just have to say, your book is great. And I'm not just saying, I'm very hard to please when it comes to books. It's a very easy read. It's sad. I commend you for overcoming everything. I think that it's great that you did that and you have an opportunity to share your story. Do you mind telling the audience a little bit about yourself and the story and your life with Streetwise and just being a street child?
Well, you know, the reason that I wrote the book is that, you know, a lot of the people that I knew and grew up with didn't live to tell their story. So I tried to write a story that kind of incorporated a little bit of my spiritual journey, kind of growing and learning and
forgiving
my family and some of the issues that I went through as a child. So what I did is just structured, you know, my story in a way that I could talk about some of the healing experiences and how important that was to me. And, you know, in order for me to be successful, I really had to dig very deep and to forgive and to grow and to be, you know, open to criticism. And, you know, that's really what it's about. It's about being imperfect and not doing everything the right way, in fact, doing a lot of things the wrong way.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to learn from lessons and just, you know, knowing that I'm not perfect.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of that in the book. And I, again, you know, the things that you went through, the abuse, and there are certain parts, I don't know about anyone else, when I was reading it, I had to kind of step back and kind of take a breather and keep reading because they're so vivid. And it seems like if you were on a stage and you were in front of everyone and you were telling your life story, and I'm trying not to tear up right now, but it just really hit home because I had some friends that were abused, and it's an awful thing to be young and have to deal with that and to have one of your friends or several of your friends that didn't make it that aren't here 30 years later, you know, it's kind of rough. And you know, how did you deal with that when you found out that, of course, Roberta had passed away? I know you're visibly upset, but how did you really just deal with that?
Well, it was very upsetting. I mean, and I think that's, you know, she was one of the main reasons that I wanted to tell the story, just because, you know, there was no Facebook. There was no way to memorialize these children. Once they were gone, and That's how it was, you know. And my story is nothing compared to most of the kids that I met and interacted with on the streets. I was very, very lucky to not have gone through a lot of the more abusive situations. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm just really grateful to be alive and to be able to tell the story.
Yeah, and we're just grateful for you to just to do that and to tell it to other people. If someone wants to find your book other than Amazon, is it at local bookstores or where else is it besides Amazon?
You can order it from the local bookstore. I doubt they'll carry it. This is kind of more of an independent project. So Kindle's the most affordable way to do it. I also, you know, donate books to shelters. So if somebody works for a shelter that works with at-risk youth or homeless youth, you can email me through my website, streetchildmemoir.com, and I'll try to send a few books their way.
That sounds great. That's just an amazing story. And I know you IM me on Facebook. You're studying for an exam, so good luck on that. What are you studying?
I'm studying for the Series 7 security exam for investments.
Wow. That sounds great. I would love to have you back on, Justin, at a later date. Go ahead.
No, I just said it's brutal. It's a lot of reading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not a school person. I love reading, but sometimes it's kind of harder
to go back.
No, it's never too late to go back. I was thinking about going back and getting a master's degree. We'll see how everything goes.
I went back to college in my 30s. I went back to college in my 30s, and I opened up my I think I was taking Psych 101 is when I first started. And there was that infamous picture of Rat and Mike. Mike with the putting the gun in his jacket was in my Psych 101 book in college.
Interesting. There's a lot of those stories in different curriculum, and I've always found that rather fascinating.
Yeah. And, of course, I went online because, you know, you do the online school stuff in school, and I told everybody, and everybody's like, they were too young to know, so they didn't care, but I thought it was cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
and Justin, you were in the movie. You're in the documentary, like, for a glimmer, I remember. You were standing by the phone booth with Roberta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for a second. I wouldn't let her film me because I thought they were the FBI.
When I was a runaway kid, I thought everybody was the cops too, because my parents had no choice but to put me down as a missing person, and so I always thought the cops were right around the corner too. I remember that.
You were sure they were going to arrest us,
right? Because they would arrest us and put us in juvenile for being runaways, and not good.
Yeah. I just remember Justin with the shades on. I'm thinking, to this day, I'm like, I love those shades. So
the aviators,
you know, they're just really
cool. Have them.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of hair. You had a head full of hair, and you had the shades on. I'm like, that was so cute. It was precious. It was really cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I commend you, Justin. You and Tiny, all the other streetwise kids that just really have overcome so many obstacles, and you guys are still here to tell your story and to let people know what it was like. And, you know, you can overcome so much. That's the one thing with people, I think, inspiration. Everyone has a story. As long as you tell it and to inspire another person or to help another person, hey, tell it. And you definitely did that. And I just commend you on the book. And I hope that we have more books down the line as you progress and everything else goes well for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and we're going to let Justin get back to some studying, and good luck with everything.
Justin, it was so nice to hear your voice finally.
I saw an interview with him on YouTube. That's how I got the book.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but, you know, it's streetwise. I didn't know it had so much of a following, and I found out that there's a streetwise fan book or Facebook page for the fans, and I think it's a great thing, and you know, Beth, I know you have some moderators on there that help you out, and if you can, you know, tell the audience a little bit about that would be great too.
like I said, I think Justin, when that conversation with him sort of sparked something that I should do something. And but I was so scared to do it alone, and so I met a wonderful girl on Facebook named Corey Mars, and I don't remember how I met her, but we sort of figured out we were both Streetwise fans, and a guy named Day-Day, younger guy, and all three of us, I was like, okay, well, let's just start this group and see what happens. So I started it, and it just grew so fast, and it's very important that I say, you know, thank you to Corey Mars, Lisa Miller, Michelle Mountain, Dion Weiss, Day-Day, and Ohanzi, because they, you know, like the last couple of days I was sick, and they sort of like moderate the group when I'm not there, add members, or, you know, if there's any drama breaks out, they delete it, or, you know, kind of keep an eye on things. And they, you know, we do this all free. We don't get, you know, there's, it's not like a website where I could sell ads, and I wouldn't do that anyway, but all this stuff is done free of their own time, and I just want to thank them so much for all their hours of work and everything they've done, helping me find pictures and start the threads and keep the threads going. And if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have been able to do this at all. I probably wouldn't be there. And also, every single person that's a member there makes up that group, and I always say that. I say all you guys are what makes this group. I think we're 1,006 members. If it wasn't for them, it would just be me sitting there. And I know Tiny appreciates the support, everybody that comes in there. You know, we found Shadow not too long ago. He popped in. He's doing well. Has a beautiful girlfriend. Rat hasn't popped in yet, but we hope he will. Maybe he'll hear this and come in. He's happily married, beautiful blonde wife, and they have children and I think grandchildren too. Who else? So we should we run down real quick? I think that's And then there's a lot of other kids that were photographed by Marielle and Mark that are in there, and we're just friends of friends that were in there. So you can come in and say hi to all of them, and everybody has a story to tell. It's like you said to Justin, everybody has a story. Everybody's going to leave a legacy when they're gone, you know? And I think it's important to leave a good legacy. Maybe you didn't start out so good, but you can always end good, you know?
And it's so funny. Actually, I quoted that in one of my stories. And, you know, one thing, too, that I commend more than anything, I commend Mary Ellen and Martin. I really, really do. And the reason that I do is because as artists, you have to, and I'm an artist myself. I'm very, very particular and very inclined and partial to art, because what they did is they took a concern that was a legitimate concern in the country and still is a legitimate concern in the country and in the world, and they put it in front of America's eyes, and they kept the story going. They didn't just stop filming the movie in 1985 or 1984. I don't know when they stopped the filming before it actually went into theaters or it was shown. But they kept the tradition going by being in contact with Tiny and her family and being in contact with other people and just sharing what was really going on. That's what artists are supposed to do. That's our job. It's not to sit here and on our talent and our gifts and just use them for our own benefit, but to benefit other people. They accomplished that goal, and that above anything else is probably one of the reasons that I have so much respect for Mary Ellen and her husband, because they didn't have to. They could have gave up on this project after the movie came out and they got nominated for an Oscar, but they were so inclined and were so giving and so caring that they decided that they wanted to continue with it. And I think this is going to be an ongoing project for them until, you know, one of them passes away. God forbid, I hope that doesn't happen anytime soon, or anyone passes away. But I really think that they need to be commended for it, and they kept it going. And look, I was a kid when I don't even think I was in elementary school when Streetwise came out, but the fact that at 13 I watched it, and then at 23 I remembered it and continued to be interested in the movie. That's what you're supposed to do as an artist, and I commend them. So if they're listening,
I commend you guys. That is a very, very, very gracious thing that they did and are continuing to do.
And nobody gets into the documentary business to make money. You're not going to make monies with documentaries. It's a very, very rare thing. And especially back then, there was no, you know, VHS sales at that time. I think VCRs were just in their infancy. They were $1,000 to own one. And so, you know, nobody got in that to get rich or to make money or to exploit anybody. I think there's this great story about how the first night Martin Bell was filming, one of the girls got really upset and said, "I don't want to be on film." And so he opened up the film reel and destroyed the film in front of her. And so in that way, he earned their trust. And I think Tiny told me she was one of the first people to really trust them. It was when she first saw Mary Ellen, she ran away. And then later on, Mary Ellen earned her trust, and so she's able to introduce, you know, the other street kids to them. And, you know, I don't think anybody's gotten rich off that or anything like that. And it's the same with the Facebook group. You know, we're not in that for the money. We're doing it of our own time and to give back what they just a little bit of what they gave to us as kids to see. But so many people see that now. We're all in our 30s and 40s, and some of us in maybe in our 50s, and we see a lot of our stories reflected back, you know. And maybe it wasn't as bad, or maybe it was worse. Some of us had it worse, you know. But we see our stories reflected back, and so we feel like through Tiny and through Justin and through Rat, our story was told, you know.
And
so
that's a great thing. And
yeah.
We do. And I don't see the Streetwise, I don't want to call it a phenomenon. I don't see this ending anytime soon. I know that they're filming the follow-up film, and I can't wait to see it.
It's supposed to be out this year, yeah. They ended up doing a Kickstarter to raise money to go back to film.
Time. I remember that.
It's very rare that documentary filmmakers stay in touch with their subjects, especially when their subject was in their teenage years. And they've managed to keep in touch with Tiny her whole life. I think Martin Bell filmed the birth of one of her kids or something. They've taken pictures of her all throughout her life. And I think she's such an interesting, you know, photographic subject. And, you know, her kids, of course, are just beautiful. And, you know, I think that for them to keep in touch with her and sort of everybody wants to know, you know, where's Tiny at now? And so for them to go back and do another movie, it's going to be great. And they managed to do so well on the Kickstarter that they said, I was reading on there today when I was sort of brushing up for this, that they're going to also do some filming of Rat, whose real name was Richard, and some of the other kids. And I know Munchkin was in our group, I think he still is, I'm not sure, his real name's Terry. He said that they were filming at his house, I want to say about a year ago. They did some filming at his house. I think they're catching up with all of the main subjects. And, in fact, to my shock, I got an email from Mary Ellen thanking me for doing the group. I think that was the biggest, you know, one of the most best things of my life was, like, getting this email from Mary Ellen Mark saying, thank you for making the group. It was because she had lost contact.
Yeah.
You know, she's traveling and doing her thing all the time. And so she had lost track of some of the other kids. And so she was really thankful to be able to see how they were doing and see that they were doing okay.
Yeah, and Mary Ellen is, if anybody is a big photography person, she has photographed some of the most iconic figures of our time. She's photographed Henry Miller, Johnny Depp, Etta James, I think Marlon Brando.
She has photographed
some really, and her pictures are so raw and so poignant and Tiny. And I remember one interview Mary Ellen said that Tiny was completely at ease in front of the camera. And if you ever look up any of the pictures of Tiny throughout the years, they're very candid pictures. Some of them she's actually crying. Some of them she's very happy. There was the one I saw with her and her mother were arguing. So for a photographer to capture that and not video it or just to capture it in a still photograph is very touching and also is extremely hard. So, you know, that shows her talent.
But to actually get an email from Mary Ellen Mark, who has photographed, you know, all these people, who was a photographer for Life magazine, that's a really a great pat on the back. And that shows that you're doing great things with the page. And I just think that it's just a wonderful thing that I found it. And I hope everybody, if you haven't looked the page up, just go to it. And Beth, just tell them the address for the page one more time for some of the people that just are tuning in.
Sure. It's www.facebook.com/group/streetwise1984. Or like I say, just go to Facebook, punch in Streetwise documentary or Streetwise 1984, and it should pop up. And my name on Facebook is, it's Beth, but I'm under Janie Stole My Dolly. It's an old message board name I used to use because I don't like my last name on Facebook. But you can. I have a couple of other groups, too, on HBO documentaries. We talk because that I think Streetwise really opened up my passion for documentaries. And the first thing when you see Streetwise, and of course knowing it was back in the 80s, the first thing you say is, where are they now? Wonder what happened to them now. I wonder what, you know. And so we're able to answer those questions correctly, not, you know, rumors and stuff like that. And by the way, if you've been in my group or if you've joined my group, I do want to get one thing straight. There was a false rumor that I was writing a book about the Streetwise kids. Totally untrue. I'm writing a book about the show Big Brother. And somebody went on my page and saw I'm an author and I'm working on a book and just assumed it was about the Streetwise kids. Totally not true. I could not do that if I wanted to. It would be totally illegal for me to do that. So if you've heard that rumor, that is just rumor. It's not true. There's no money to be made from the Facebook page. It's just strictly for information and to thank these kids for opening up their lives and to give back what they gave to us and what Tiny's given to us. I mean, she's opened up her life. I mean, from the time I've been a little girl, when somebody points a camera at me, I'm like, no. I've always hated being on film and hated being photographed. And Tiny has opened up her life to us, and so did the other kids in that documentary, and that's something that we should all be thankful for. And if you were, you know, in the scene back then and your story didn't get told, I'm sure it's told in some form, you know, by that documentary.
Yeah.
So,
It's a great thing. And like I said, I give kudos to you and to all the moderators on the Facebook page group
and also
to Mary Ellen and her husband Martin, because this is what, as artists,
and I want to thank them for allowing us to have the Facebook group, because that is, you know, of course, Streetwise is her intellectual property, and she's allowed us to keep the group going, and we post pictures, and there's so much information. I couldn't even begin to fit it into an hour show, how much information we found about, you know, the kids and the time and everything.
Yeah. Well, just anyone, if you want to know more, just go to the page that Beth provided. We're actually coming to the end of the show. Next week I will have my friend Whitney Warden. He is an abstract artist, and he's going to be talking about some stuff. So just stay tuned. Wonderful stuff. Thank you, Beth, so much for coming on. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for
having
me.
And thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. You're welcome. And just tune in next week. And this is Jessica Baptiste signing off. X's and O's as always. Tune in next week. Hit me up on Twitter, SOK Enterprises. Also, I'm on Facebook, too. Take care of each other. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Thank you all for listening.
Bye. God bless.